We got a lot to do on this Friday. I mean, think about the sports equinox world we're living in. The Giants coming off a loss to the Cowboys. The Jets, it feels like the Jets haven't played in about 2 months, but they're back on Sunday at MetLife against the Denver Broncos. The New York Mets season about to be on the line over the weekend and then potentially Monday. And the New York Yankees last night had quite a party celebrating the American League East. We get to everything as the show rolls on, including more of your calls at 888-808-1019. You can always rewind on the Odyssey app if you've missed anything. A lot on this Giant game so far, but the one thing we haven't gotten into is this head coach. Our very own Tommy Lugauer is not happy with our head coach. Tommy, the floor is yours.
Brian Daboll last night coached and called plays to not get blown out. Brian Daboll, and I'm serious, is tanking for a quarterback.
What?
He's tanking for a quarterback. Crazy. I could bring up four instances in which he did not be aggressive and try to win. Let's start with down 14-9 in the third quarter. We discussed it a little bit earlier in the show. I'll skip ahead. Fourth and goal on the 3 yard line, and they kick. How about you go for it? Worst case scenario, the Cowboys have the ball on the 3 yard line. Even if you don't trust your offense, let's go with, oh, they don't trust the offense. Do you trust your defense? The Cowboys, who weren't doing much all night, on the 3 yard line. Okay, let's go backwards now. End of the first half, and I think a lot of people miss this. Cowboys punt the ball. Giants, it's down like on the 10-yard line, whatever that case may be. Holding call on the Cowboys. Instead of enforcing it and allowing the Cowboys to kick again, maybe you get a block, Brian Daboll said, all right, good, first half. We won't do that. We'll just go into the half down points.
That's a good point, bro.
Yeah.
You could get a block. You could get a return. Try to win the game. Now, down 17-12 in the fourth quarter. Giants are driving. They hit a couple pass plays. Second and 11 from the Dallas 21. After they're not running the ball all night, they ran the ball and they lost 3 yards. Now, with the quarterback you don't trust, you have a third and long. All right? And then, when they're driving late in the fourth quarter, four plays.
He's prepared. He's written everything down.
I hate taking notes. I usually just scream and live in the extremes, but I think it's important here.
No, go ahead.
Second and six with 4 minutes left.
Yeah.
4 minutes left in the fourth quarter. They hand the ball off to Tyrone Tracy.
That did happen.
I would love for somebody to explain that one to me. He gets absolutely stuffed. Brian Daboll is tanking. He's tanking games.
I don't think he's
so tanking.
So
to what
games.
Bob Papa said last night, it's worse because you know what? As a sports fan, and if you trekked out to MetLife Stadium last night, all you want to see is your team try to win the game. They did not try to win that game. They didn't. They coached to not get blown out and embarrassed once again on primetime. So congratulations, you achieved that. So if we want the slogan this year to be, hey, New York Giants, at least we didn't get blown out, then just sell some t-shirts. Because that's what I watched last night. A team, a head coach, a play calling to not get embarrassed by the Dallas Cowboys.
I can't agree with that. I mean, he was conservative, but I think that's just because he doesn't feel like he can hit big plays. I mean, by the end of the game, did you think you'd get a big play?
So what about on the 3 yard line? You don't have to hit a big play there. You have Malik Nabers, who is obviously a generational talent. You have Robinson, who could get open. Why not go for it? Why not go for it? Worst case, you're kicking a field goal from the 3 yard line, coach, when you can't get into the end zone? That is your best opportunity to score a touchdown.
When you're that close. At that point?
Let me check my notes, Steve.
The field goal made it 14-12, so it was 14-9.
And then asked about it after the game. And I give credit, I think it was Pat Leonard, who pushed him a little bit. You could tell they weren't really pushing Brian Daboll last night, more than that in a little bit. He goes, well, we did it so because we needed 3 points. We didn't know where the situation would be later in the game. Coach, can you go for it? Worst case scenario, you back Dallas up on the 3 yard line. Be a little bit aggressive.
Yeah, but then you got to stop him, and then you change. You just don't get – it becomes a possession game. It becomes a math game with the number of possessions. And if you, the worst case, you have to account for the worst case scenario. So the worst case scenario down 14-9 is that you go for it, don't make it, and then it becomes 21-9. And now you're screwed. Because you hope you have enough possessions to get back into it.
What I find interesting about your, and I commend you for the preparation and your fieriness, is as Tommy's making this case against Daboll, I'm watching two Giants. You know, Sean's a Giant, Tiki's a Giant. Very different kind of Giants, but two Giants. And I'm watching the reactions that both have had. And I'd like to describe that to the radio audience. Tiki's smiling like, this is funny. Like, listen to this guy. I'm just going to, like, swat him away, but this is humorous. Sean Morash is like biting his tongue, rolling his eyes, like he's angry, but he doesn't want to say anything.
At least it wasn't at you, Evan.
That's true. I feel good about that. And he's like, I don't know what it is, but it's like he doesn't want to say anything.
No, he's just
holding back for some reason.
Because he's going to pull this one out of his playbook, because I know Sean's playbook.
Yeah,
right now. He's like Army football. He's ran the 5 plays the last 10 years. He's going to blame the officials. He's going to blame the officials. All right, so let's blame the officials. How come the head coach wasn't aggravated because they got hosed earlier in that game? And then after the game, gee golly, oh, I love the quarterback. We were close. We didn't get blown out. They're tanking for quarterback.
Tanking for a quarterback.
First of all, I'm just going to correct you right there. I wasn't going to the officials, but since you said that, Dable exploded on the sideline early in the game, so you didn't pay
attention.
But how
about throughout the whole game, then?
Here's why
the officiating was horrible.
Here's why I was biting my tongue and rolling my eyes. You guys know. The one thing I care about above anything else is our audience. And what Tommy just spewed there was insulting to the audience.
How so?
I'm so glad that he brought notes, and I think you did a good job there. And I do agree with you. I would have went for it on 4th-and-3. But the idea that you think that translates
into
to...
tanking?
Yes, that's the problem.
Right,
if you had a problem with Dable's play calling, to go
you
to
know
he's
what?
Tanking...
Hold on. Time out on the field.
Here comes the white
ball. Private conversation with Tinky Barber.
Uh-oh.
Lou Gehrig debate series right now about this?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Don't wait for it. Do it.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Lou Gehrig debate series is on right now. Each guy will get a minute to argue their point. And since Lugie's already started, Sean, the floor will be yours. You want to respond about insulting the audience? Blah, 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 blah. That's great. We're going to start that clock right. Hold on. Getting my stopwatch ready. Now!
If you have a problem with Brian Dable's coaching last night, including being a little too tentative on 4th-and-3 from the end zone, I think that's a totally fair argument. To argue that means Brian Dable is tanking games for a quarterback, well, riddle me this, Batman. Why on earth would he have then gone for it on multiple 4th downs last night when he could have simply said, oh, I don't like our odds, we're not running the ball well, let me punt. He played aggressive football last night and then trusted his defense at 4th-and-3, oh, by the way, with no run game getting going, to kick the field goal. Nothing there translated that he was trying to lose the game. I do agree. I question why he didn't go for the end zone, but that's not tanking because nothing he did the rest of the night added up to tanking. In fact, you could argue him even kicking field goals with a kicker he didn't trust last week shows he was trying to win the game. So, look, have a good take. Have a strong take. Don't insult the audience by doing a hot take that it means he's tanking. Oh. Period. Stop. Don't need the full 60.
All right. Well, you only had 4 seconds left, so you basically did use the full 60. Lugie, the clock starts for you right now.
Okay, then riddle me this, fat man. Why after the game was Brian Dable not pressed on job security? Why? He was pressed on it 2 weeks ago, and he wasn't pressed on it last night. Why is that? Did the beat reporters, cat got their tongue? Or were they told, don't press the head coach anymore? Because inside that building, they've been told, everybody knows it, Mr. Feet Up is there next year. They are drafting a quarterback. They are tanking games. They want Daniel Jones out of here. They're tanking games. So now we can't press Brian Dable after the game. Can't ask him about job security. Can't do that. Can't ask him about the play calling. The play calling was conservative. They coached the game to not get blown out. And then after the game, it was all gee golly gosh. Oh, man, Daniel Jones was great. This, that, and the other. Everybody knows it. He's comfortable because it's been told from the tippy top down to the bottom that he's going to be able to draft a quarterback. How do you get your best quarterback option? You tank games, but you make it look like it's competitive. Competitive football. Giants 2024. At least we didn't get blown out.
All right, your time is up. Sean, right, response.
Yeah. Riddle me this, rat man. Go ahead. Who's the Giants' best player?
Malik Nabers.
Okay, is he setting rookie records for targets?
He absolutely is.
Okay, if you're trying to tank, you don't constantly keep directing the ball towards your best player.
Okay, so then why didn't they throw to Malik Nabers on 4th-and-3 from the 3-yard line? 4th-and-goal from the 3-yard line. Why didn't they do that?
Because
why did
they had less space to operate, and he was getting triple teamed.
So if he's getting triple teamed, then Robinson or somebody else will be wide open. Here's a thought. Throw to a tight end! Why are they on the team? Sean, they coached that game to not get embarrassed. Well. They are tanking games. By the way, if that's the case, fine. But then say it. Don't insult mine, yours, all of our intelligences by saying that they're trying to win. They are not. What's their record? 1-3. Oh, they're moving in the right direction. They've been moving in the right direction for 10 years. When are they actually going to get to that direction? You know what? I'm going to take a nap. Wake me up when they do. Because I'm not going to watch this team and put all my, you know, passion into it when they're not trying. That's not the players. The players are trying. But the coach, didn't he take over play calling this year? That's fascinating.
Pulled a great game last night.
Doesn't it? Oh, he sure did. Until it was time to actually be aggressive and win the game. It behooves Brian Daboll to lose games. But if they get blown out, Evan, if they get blown out in these games, he could get fired.
Okay.
But if
they're close, the final word is yours. Go ahead.
Final word is this. I just want to remind the audience, this Lugas debate series is not about he who yells the loudest, but he who makes the most salient points. Thank you. You guys can decide.
All right. Thank you very much. That was something.
That was.
It's a reminder that the Lugas debate series always needs to be spur of the moment and not planned.
Yes, I agree.
Not that we've ever planned one.
It's better when it's planned.
So I have
not
a,
planned.
Not planned.
Not
so
planned.
I have a scoreboard I'm holding right now. We're not on TV, so this is just for us, and I'll describe it to you. It says Morash 2, Lugie 1. That's the standings right now. Just want to confirm that's correct. Yes, mm-hmm. It's 2-1.
It's 2-1, yes.
Tiki, who won that debate?
Only because of the content, I think Sean Morash won that debate. And it happened just because I agree with him. Because I don't think Dave's is tanking. Maybe the play call down in the tight red area was bad, even though I think it was actually exceptional. Mm-hmm. He called a pick swing to Wandell Robinson. And if Malik Nabers just gets in the way, force a defender to go under you and not just unfettered to Wandell Robinson. Wandell Robinson walks in on 3rd and 8 and 3rd and goal from the 8-yard line. Right?
You remember that play? No, I do. Yeah, yeah.
All he had to do was influence him a little bit. Not a ton, just a little bit.
Yeah.
Make him like do something other than go straight to Wandell Robinson. And that's a touchdown. And we'll talk about how unbelievably designed of a play that was.
Mm.
And so that was an execution error. That was not a play call error. They subsequently, on the next play, they kicked the field goal because they're worried about execution. By the way, if they had worked it the other way, Tyrone Tracy was wide open in the flat.
Yes.
So that play was designed to score a touchdown. It scores a touchdown if Malik Nabers is not lazy running his pick route.
Yes. Okay. I will tell you this. Who do I agree with in that discussion? I would say I mostly agree with Sean Morash, but I got to be honest. I think Tommy Lugauer kicked his ass.
Come on.
I don't know if it was just that he made me laugh more. I don't know if it's that he rattled Sean, because I do think he rattled Sean.
No, I'm going to give Tommy this. Riddle me, fat man, got me.
It was good.
Right.
But it wasn't just that. Like, I think you disagreed with him so much that you were off your game.
Mm.
So I'm always going to be honest about this. In terms of the individual points, I'd probably say I mostly agree with Sean. I certainly don't think Brian Daboll is tanking. But respectfully, Tommy, you have my vote. I think you won that debate. Now, to be fair, we need to go to somebody on the phones to break the tie. All right? Now, I have no idea, with people on hold who have been listening to this, what they're going to say.
Right,
okay?
They called for something else.
They called for something completely different. And I'll let them make their point, of course. But we need to break this tie. This is the rules of Lugas debate series. Mm-hmm. One person will break that tie.
As they do this in debates, can I get one closing statement before we go to the tie? You get one too.
You
one quick.
We
No, but that was to Sean. Can I get a quick thing to the audience? That's all. Can I say quick? We have one closing statement.
No, he cannot.
It's over.
You can say it after the fact.
It's 10 seconds. All right, fine. Go to the
call. No, he can't skew the caller.
All right, that's fair enough. Go to the
Well, I've got to, I'm going to decide. We've got a full bank of calls. I don't know who to go to. This is a very complicated decision. Do we go to the guy that wants to talk about how the Giants wide receivers did not help Daniel Jones? Giants are a losing team. Daniel Jones' performance.
Mm.
You know what? Hopefully I'm right about this. Diego in East Meadow, I think, has called up before. He's a wonderful gentleman.
Yes.
Diego, before you make your point about the Giants, I'm sure you heard that. Did you hear that conversation between Sean and Lugie?
I heard every single word, and I feel honored that I'm going to be the judge of this. It's been ringing my whole life, top of a life.
All right, well, the floor is yours. Who won that debate?
Without a doubt, the future of WFAN, Tommy Lugauer, won the debate.
So, ladies and gentlemen, the scoreboard has now been changed. It is 2-2, Morash and Lugie. Diego? Right.
An honorary Brandon Jacobs got some victory as well.
That's right. There was an honorary Brandon Jacobs victory. So, Sean, before we let Diego make his point, in fact, I'm going to put you on hold real quick, Diego, and we'll get back to you. I want you to show class and concede your loss. Go ahead.
Great job, Tommy, fooling Diego. Appreciate it.
And I would just like to say, unlike Sean, who's a Jet hater, when I see a New York football fan, I don't ask them if they're a Giant fan. I don't ask them if they're a Jet fan. I ask them if they're okay.
Oh, wow. You should have been with me with the guy with the Jet jersey on last night. night. The Jet jersey, taking pictures with me at the Hellman setup. You got to tweet that picture out, by the way.
Yes, I will.
Thank you.
There was a guy.
There was one guy.
Wearing a Jet jersey.
Right.
At a Giants-Cowboys game. Who wanted to take a picture with giant legend Tiki Barber.
That's correct.
Did you say to him, Mayo, help you?
No, I said, Mayo, game day be excellent.
Well, congratulations to Tommy Lugauer. The Lugash debate series is now tied 2-2.
By the way, everybody thought it was a Tim Tebow jersey?
Yeah. That's what I thought.
Just
it was a 15.
You know,
yeah.
It was a Brandon Marshall jersey.
Which, again, a Jet jersey at a giant tailgate? May he rot in helmet.
Oh, that was a good one.
Even I, as a Jet fan, admit
that's a good. That might have been his best one.
That was good, Sean.
Thank you.
Now it doesn't make up for the fact that Lugie just whipped your ass.
Small victory.
More on that later, because I do have a very strong opinion about jerseys at games when your team's not involved. But in fairness to the great Diego in East Meadow, thank you very much for breaking that tie. What else is on your mind today, kind sir?
Well. Before I get to that, clearly, Tiki, you didn't see the Eagles fan in the Barkley
I did not.
Let's just say we didn't make his life pleasant that night, last night.
I did not.
But I kind of, like, you know, not being funny, kind of tying it into Tommy's point. Like, we always talk about, like, the Chiefs. They find a way to win the game. Like, yep. No matter what, like, someone on that team steps up, whether it's special teams, whatever. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, last year we got blown out, or this year we only lose by 5. At least they covered. But you're still losing. Like, it's still a loss, right. Just like a win is a win. And I think the problem is top-down. It does have something to do with DJ, but it's all around. The minute the offensive line gets fixed, so we've called and screamed for 10 years about the offensive line. Now we can't, you know, throw a pass downfield more than 30 yards. And I think some of that is the coaching, and it was evident last year, you know, the Jet game having Gano play hurt. Then that play call in Buffalo on the final play of the game. It just doesn't seem like he wants to take any chances, because I think he's trying to protect Daniel and not let him throw downfield. But the biggest gripe
you might be right about
so
that, Diego, you might be right about that one. He is trying to protect him from being a turnover machine. That's for sure.
Exactly. But, like, they can't push the ball like downfield. Like, it looks like the protection's there, and I just don't understand. Like, the biggest thing with this year, they traded up to Hyatt. This is a Daboll and Joe Shane draft pick. Traded up for him, the guy can't get on the field. I don't know if it's something like outside, like in the practice facility, but like try to stretch him out. I mean, like, we can't keep throwing these, like, dinks and dunks all the time. Like, let's see if he can do anything.
Right. Well,
it's a great point. Thank you, Diego, especially for breaking the tie. Why can't Jalen Hyatt get on the field? Is it because they don't trust Daniel Jones to use him?
I don't know specifically, because I'm not around. I haven't watched the practice tape of Jalen Hyatt, because we haven't seen him in game days. So for me to think that he just doesn't fit the route trees, or he doesn't run them well, so he's limited to taking the top off of defense, which is interesting but not as important when you're playing the short game.
Right.
Right. I mean, the Giants are more West Coast than they are explosive wide out, you know, wide open offense. West Coast obviously is getting rid of the ball quickly. It's what Tom Brady did for decades, and what they did out in Shanahan's Bill Walsh's offense out in with the 49ers, which is old school. So to me, I think it's probably he just doesn't run all the routes great.
Right.
And so they're better options.
Yeah.
Slayton, who's got a familiarity with Daniel Jones. Wando Robinson, who's quick as hell and lightning getting into space. And then Malik Nabers. You're not playing four wide.
One other thing about Brian Daboll, all right? So one defense of Dabes, and I'm not sure if you made this, Sean. I was trying to listen to every word you guys had in the Lugash debate series, but sometimes you made me laugh, and I started laughing, and I missed things. But one of the defenses of Dabes' conservativeness has been, well, look at how many fourth downs he went for last night.
Yep.
The argument I'd make against that.
Well, because they were fourth and manageable.
Exactly.
Right.
Go through every time he decided to go for it on fourth down, and think about how you could possibly not go for it on fourth down. So go back to the 4th-and-1 from their own 49-yard line. It's 14-6 Dallas at that point. You're mid-second quarter. How do you not go for it on 4th-and-1 from midfield? Like, not going for it would be, egregious.
What about last week when he went for a fourth down his own territory?
Hold on a second. Right. In fairness, I'm talking about this particular game. I'm talking about the three different moments or the four different moments we went for it on fourth down.
Right.
This game, okay? So,
by the way, that was a missed opportunity.
The fourth and one play?
For a humongous play.
Really? What was there for him? Because what they ended up doing on that play was, wasn't it a run play?
It was a duo downhill play to Singletary.
Yeah, and Singletary was almost taken back behind the line of scrimmage, and then he broke free.
So because of the formation, this is 13 personnel. So there are three tight ends.
Mm-hmm.
There's not one on the backside. So it's three tight ends, everybody's front side, and I don't know who the wide receiver was. The ex-wide receiver is way out there. So the backside edge is wide open. And guess what happens? They bring a corner or safety right off the edge, and that's why Devin Singletary gets hit in the backfield.
Right.
The play to call there, if you're going to try to confuse them, is run a naked bootleg.
Mm.
Right? Just fake it to Devin Singletary. Daniel Jones spin out without looking and then start running towards the first down. So it's man coverage, clearly, because there's only one guy on that side of the field to the ex-wide receiver, so he's going to turn his back as soon as the wide receiver goes, and the safety is 15, 20 yards deep.
So you didn't like the play call?
I did like the play call, but I would have given Daniel Jones the ability to keep that ball.
Right.
Right? If you see
bigger things could have happened, like you said.
He might have scored a touchdown.
No, I get you.
I'm just telling you.
And now they got the first down. They were lucky
because it was a great run by Devin Singletary.
Right. So that's a decision to go for it. That, to me, I would phrase that as a no-brainer. Like, yes. If they don't go for it, we're having a very difficult conversation on the radio.
By the way, it was Jalen Hyatt that was the ex.
Oh, was he?
Outside
about that?
Blocking.
The next time they went for it on fourth down was fourth and three from the Dallas 45-yard line. Down 17-12.
Yeah.
I'd argue that's another scenario where you have to go for it. Like, it's a no-brainer you're going for it on fourth and three from the Dallas 45-yard line down 17-12. The next time they went for it was so late in the game, it was fourth and one from their own 39. They're down 20-15 with about 5 minutes to go. Again, you got to go for it. There's no question. And then finally, the one that they failed on was the fourth and six. Of course they're going for it. So my argument to you back is, I can't say he was ultra aggressive. I think he would be insane to not go on any of those shutdowns.
But he went for four and got three of them.
Yeah. And
yes.
And Evan,
yeah.
Just to be clear.
Go ahead.
I don't disagree with you.
Thank you. Well, we can end it right there.
No. Because this is important to note.
Go ahead.
We have lived in this town and we have seen head coaches. And I'm going to bring two names to you.
Todd Bowles
and Joe Judge.
Yeah.
Do you know what each of those guys do on that fourth
That's
down
not
from
a
30
fair
or 5 minutes left?
No,
they punt.
No, it's not. No. That's the worst argument you could have made, quite frankly. The argument would be, I don't even know what the argument would be, but bringing up failed former conservative head coaches to say, but Brian went for it, that's a good thing.
Because that's what we asked for the coaches.
Yeah,
5 minutes left, that's not an automatic go for it.
I'm not ripping Brian Daboll. I'm merely saying he had to go for it on those fourth downs.
Telling you, you didn't on that last one.
No, you did. You absolutely did. On all of those scenarios I just laid out, how can you not go for it on fourth down? Tiki brings up great points about play call, which I admit wasn't even thinking about.
Mm-hmm.
You're right, though. And you can dive deep on all those fourth down calls and pick that apart.
Right.
But in terms of the decision to go for it.
In fairness to Dave's, that's very easy to do from the comfort of this chair.
Of course. Yeah, absolutely. But every time he went for it, like, that's not a valid excuse against Tommy. And again, I mostly agree with you, but the valid excuse of him not being conservative is saying, well, he went for it on fourth down four times. Dude, they were all no-brainers.
Okay, so now you want to just bring up those, and I brought up last week's. If Brian Daboll was tanking at 0-2 last week, why would he go for it on fourth down from his own territory when he didn't have to?
I did not say Brian Daboll is
tanking. But it all adds up to what the whole argument and thesis was.
No, I'm merely talking about his decisions to go for it on fourth down. Okay? And why I don't look at it and say, wow, he really showed those day balls again. Like, that's not true. That's just making something up because you want it to fit your narrative. Like, I'm merely saying, because I'm the IFO, you two have agendas. Me and Tiki, we're very independent-minded. Lugie's got an agenda that he hates Brian Daboll. I don't know what he did to him, but maybe something.
How do you hate him?
Well, because I would just say this. If they're not tanking, if you don't think they're tanking, then the head coach stinks. They're 1-3. They lost to a team they should have beat last night. So if you don't think they're tanking, then admit he's not good. He's not a good head coach.
Well, first of all, the game one against
the Vikings.
The Vikings are pretty damn good. And their defense is befuddling everyone, including the really good teams in the AFC, like the Houston Texans, who they beat up last week. Game two was a roster decision. That and I'm not sure that was all Dabes' decision. It was a roster decision to not have a kicker when Graham Gano gets hurt and you lose because all you can do is go for two on extra points and not try any field goals, including one at a 2-minute warning, which makes it a 9-point game. Mm. Game is over.
Game's over.
Game's over. Washington's not scoring twice.
Done.
So, and then last night, that wasn't on Dabes. They didn't lose because of coaching. So, like, I don't see it.
What I don't see is how could somebody be so positive and make their whole aura positive and not be positive about the head coach?
Because the Mets need me, the Giants don't. The Giants should be better than this. Mm. The Giants are a proud organization and a great organization. They have enough people that, you know, will wave the pom-poms. I don't have to do that here.
No, you've
Sean.
Moved the goalpost. You did it for the Knicks, did it for the Mets. You didn't realize that your feelings about the Giants poked into your agenda,
Sean,
and your fake game.
Sean, we watched HBO Hard Knocks. Follow the bouncing ball. We watched Hard Knocks, and we watched Joe Shane and Brian Daboll try to find a new quarterback. Yes?
Yeah.
Okay. So wouldn't it behoove them to lose games to get a quarterback?
Then why didn't it behoove them last year?
They tried to lose games, but my man, Tommy DeVito, won games. They didn't think Tommy was going to win games, and they went, holy crap, we won games with this guy.
Speaking of Tommy DeVito, did anybody notice this? So I'm watching the game, Amazon Prime. Actually, I watched it on Fox. I ended up not listening to the advice that was given late in the show. I went right to Fox 5. And when they showed the Giants dramatically leaving the tunnel to go onto the field, the only jersey you could see was Tommy DeVito running out.
Oh, really?
It was as if Tommy DeVito was the franchise.
That's funny.
I don't know if anybody noticed that last night.
Foreshadowing?
Foreshadowing what? Is he coming? Is he going to save this team in a few weeks?
You tell me. You brought it up.
No, I was just saying that it jumped out at me after, especially Tommy brought up his love.
All I'm saying is, first it was Wink Martindale's fault, then it was Kafka's fault, now it's Daniel Jones' fault. At what point is it Brian Daboll's fault?
It's always the head coach's fault.
But why can't we ask him about job security then?
Because that's just asinine. You can't keep firing guys just because you don't like them on a day.
You're gonna get
divorced when you get pissed off at your wife?
No, but what if Adam Gase was still the head coach of the Jets?
Adam Gase was incompetent. Adam Gase did very little to earn his position.
Thank you.
He failed forward. And there's a reason that he is not in the league anymore.
Thank you, Tiki.
Okay. And it's been a minute.
And I appreciate you
Josh
doing
Allen
that.
Hasn't fallen off with the Bills.
Hold on a second. Well, he sort of did last year, 2 years ago.
He was the MVP last year, basically.
2 years ago. The turnover started to pop up.
Right.
Look, I didn't want to be mean to Adam Gase, and I'm so glad you did it. So I'll just throw this in there, because why not? Adam Gase was literally good at making coffee for Peyton Manning. And then he became the head coach of the New York Jets.
And then he said he failed Sam Darnold.
He said it. He said it. And
like, fire me. He basically said, fire me. I fail our quarterback.
Yes. And for you to compare anybody to Adam Gase is insulting.
I'm just comparing.
Did you hear Kevin O'Connell, who basically said the same thing without saying the same thing?
Yeah.
Quote, I believe that organizations fail young quarterbacks before young quarterbacks fail organizations.
No, I mean, there's a lot of truth to that. I happen to root for a team that's failed a lot of young quarterbacks. We'll get back to your calls coming up. Giant fans, angry, concerned, or optimistic after losing to the Dallas Cowboys last night, 20-15. The toll-free number is 888-808-1019. Coming up at 4 o'clock. Did the Yankees celebrate too much? Get to some baseball later on, including the Yankees at 4 o'clock, who partied very heartily last night. But they still have 3 games to go left in the season, which is something that they need to nail down. We'll get to that at 4. And obviously the New York Mets, after not playing baseball for a long time, well, they're going to play some baseball, potentially 5 games in 4 days, and it starts tonight in Milwaukee against the Brewers. But yesterday on the program, we all made a prediction, and we like to hold ourselves accountable around here.
Mm-hmm.
We predicted the stats for one Malik Nabers. So let's see how we did. Let's start it off with, you know what, me. All right, you want to start off with me, Loogie? Let's start off with what I said my stat prediction for Malik Nabers would be. 3 catches, 75 yards, and a touchdown. 3 catches, 75 yards, and a touchdown.
Under.
He ended up having 12 catches, 115 yards, and no touchdowns.
Right.
So I am definitely a loser. Sean Morash.
4 catches, 53 yards, no touchdowns.
Wow.
Bingo. Boo. Nailed it. No touchdowns.
Bingo. You're off by, you know, a few yards.
Oh, yeah. Like 70.
Let's see what Tommy Lugauer had to say.
15 catches.
Wow.
For 150. 2 scores, 1 rushing, 1 receiving.
If you hadn't got it, like, over the top with the scores, you might have been close.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. Catches-wise, you were pretty close.
He ended up having it.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, he had what, 14?
He had 12.
12.
He had 12 catches.
15 targets.
Lugie said 15 targets. 115 instead of a buck 50. You went for the multiple scores.
I'm surprised Lugie guessed that considering he thinks the coach is tanking.
And now Tiki Barber, who I believe yet again is the winner.
Predict Malik Nabers' stats and impact on tonight's game.
10 for 110 and a touchdown.
10 for 110 and a touchdown is basically a win. Wrong about the touchdown, but 12 for 115, you said 10 for 110.
We're close.
So this is the...
That's one catch. Two more catches for 2 yards each.
That's right. I think this is the third time we've done stat predictions, and when we listen back and see how we did. I think you're 3 for 3.
Yeah.
I think you got all of them right.
It's because I have the script.
I think he does.
By the way, you know what the best part of the pregame was? So I was at the helmets thing.
Mm-hmm.
Remember yesterday when we were talking about the tailgates? And I was like, if I see a cool, you're not going to go to any tailgates. Like, if I see a cool tailgate, I'll come over and have a beer with you. Two dudes were listening.
Damn right.
And they brought me a beer.
That's right.
And I had a beer with them. Sean will post it on Instagram.
Very nice.
They were fantastic. Or not Instagram, on Twitter.
Did you have any problems finding a parking spot?
I did not. Because I think I got there late enough that people had cleared out because I parked really close.
Right. That's the trick.
Clearly there was someone there because when I got there, it was perfectly clear spot. People had cleaned up the tailgates and I pulled right in about, I don't know, 4 rows off the stage.
So this is the trick for anyone going to the Jet game on Sunday. Now, there's a risk to it. You could get there late. If you get there too late, you miss the start of the game. That's annoying. But if you get into the parking lot like late-ish, all of the tailgate stuff is usually cleaned up.
Yes.
And there's more spots for you.
Right.
Just the way it is.
Right.
So a little piece of advice.
Depending how far, you just calculate how far you have to walk to get there.
Right.
And get there, I don't know, 10 minutes before you have to be in.
That's right.
Because that's what it was for me.
That's it.
Now, there's great.
There are some risks with that because, A, maybe you just want to tailgate. If that's the case, go early.
Mm-hmm.
But also, you don't want to wait too long online. And then sometimes, depending on where you're sitting at MetLife, it may take you like 45 minutes to get to your seat.
Well, that's the problem.
That is the problem.
Because I was in a suite.
Yeah.
I was in the IBM suite. So you walk in, you go right up, you're right where you need to be.
You know what the key to this whole thing is? And I've learned enough over the years at MetLife. I don't go that often, so it kind of took me a long time to learn it. Now I've learned it as a season ticket holder. You have to park on the edge of the building where your seat is. Because if you end up, and I've done this a million times, like when I would go to one game a year, I would end up on the wrong side every time. Every single time. I'd park the car. I'd walk in. I'm like, oh my God, I'm on the other side. It would take me an hour and a half to get to my seat.
You know what you need to do? Is you need to find your exit, and it's usually the stairs at halftime. So instead of like doing whatever you do at halftime, go find the stairs that goes right to where your
car is. That's it, man. You got to scout it out.
That's what I did when I left.
That's right.
I was like, all right, oh, there's the stairs.
And you left, obviously, when the game ended, right?
Yeah, no.
You left early?
Of course I left early.
We left at the Giant game.
It doesn't matter.
When did you leave?
I left probably 3 or 4 minutes into the fourth quarter.
Oh. Into the fourth quarter?
Yep.
Oh, come on, bro. Oh,
then
man.
I listened to the great Bob Papa.
No, Bob Papa and Carl do a great job, but you didn't even...
I didn't need to see it with my eyes. I'm going to watch it again.
No, I know.
Because I did.
You're a pro. You watch it again, but you didn't want to experience the magic of being at the game?
No. I didn't want to experience the traffic of leaving the game.
If I told you Daniel Jones on that, like, kind of Hailish Mary at the end of the game, like, let's say it connected and it was this miraculous end, would you have regretted leaving early?
Maybe.
Almost maybe. Did, by the way.
Almost, right. I know. So the last time I had that decision and I actually stayed was the Green Bay game.
Wow.
Sorry, Tommy. Was the Tommy DeVito game.
The Tommy DeVito game.
And that was epic at the
end. Yeah.
And so I was glad I stayed.
So it was worth the traffic.
It was worth it. Well, I ended up just staying for like another hour.
Yeah, which is tough to do on a Thursday night.
Right.
You stay for an hour or two. It's 2 a.m.
I just hung out. It was like, let's just have another couple beers. And then I left.
Yeah.
So I stayed like I did when I was a player. Once the game was over.
Sure.
Hour before. Let it clear out, and then I get in my car.
Well, I'm glad you gave that answer. There was a lot of pools going on. People were betting, when did Tiki Barber leave the Giant game early? And now we have the answer.
Right.
A few minutes into the fourth quarter last night.
Right. Wow.
Let's get back to your calls. 888-808-1019. Chris in Bayshore. Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys. Listen, a couple of things on the Giants. I was wondering if anybody mentioned that blown face mask call on Bellinger
that
could have turned the game.
Sean was talking about this earlier. There was, well, I don't know if we brought it to air, but there were the two penalties that really screwed the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
One was the Dowell first touchdown.
The Dowell, yeah.
It was the first touchdown.
They threw two flags on that play and ended up picking them up.
And one was was correctly picked up, and that was illegal man downfield because the center, I forget who his name is, ran parallel to the line of scrimmage.
Cooper Beebe.
Beebe, as soon as the ball was released, he went upfield, made blocks. It is what it is. The second flag, which was the egregious one, was Jake Ferguson, you know, basically ripping the jersey off Cordell Flott and getting away with it. And I don't understand why they picked that one up.
Well, what I don't understand is...
It was second and 14, by the way.
Yes, yes.
And if so now all of a sudden, it would be second and 24.
Yep.
As opposed to, you know, it changes the game.
I personally think on that one, they had the video replay. They said, oh, you know, they told us to pick it up. I think there was actually confusion on the field between about the officials happened. About what happened. And I think they were almost lost that they threw two different
flags. You know what's funny? Not funny. And you're going to tune out, but whatever.
I'm not tuning out. I'm listening to you.
This happened in the EPL 2 years ago.
Oh, I'm tuning out.
With VAR.
What?
I'm serious.
What?
And it forced people to question VAR, which is the video assistant referee, because they play gets called, they go to VAR, it's obvious that it should be overturned, and so the VAR assistant basically says, yeah, it's what you saw, meaning overturn it. The guy hears it as no overturn, and so they leave it on. And so they screw up the video, the replay. Because the communication process is wrong.
Right.
And so, Sean, you might be right. Because it was clearly a hold on Jake Ferguson.
Well, that's clearly. The part that bothers me is I understand expedited review. Is that what they officially call it? Like expedited?
I forget what they call it.
Okay.
Something like that.
It has to be consistent.
Yeah.
So, all saw Jake Ferguson committed a hold. That is obvious to everybody's eyes. My eyes, your eyes, everybody's eyes.
Yes.
So, if you're going to quickly take a look and pick up a flag on a call that shouldn't have been made, you cannot have that call be issued.
To me, Evan, it's the communication. So you're going to pick up the phone, or you're going to throw the flag. Someone's going to call down, like, look at it right away. Okay, go through replay. Call down no flag. If you just say no flag, you're not specifying
which one.
Right. Which one?
Yeah. Right. It could totally be lost.
It's just lost in communication.
That one, in a lot of ways, is probably more impactful than the face mask call.
Right.
And I'll tell you why. Look, the face mask call is a terrible call. I'm not defending it because it was a double deucer. It was a double deucer
right,
in that
because they called it on the wrong guy.
It was a 30-yard swing.
Before you make the point, this needs to be said about
this.
Go
ahead.
That Dowdle play happened within 5 minutes of real time of the face mask.
Yes, right. Yes.
Why on earth video assistant replay could call down and cause all that confusion, yet nobody up there saw that the face mask was called on the wrong team?
Right.
That's the problem last night.
I agree with
you. That makes you think people are cheating.
That's what it felt like. NFL...
I'm not saying that, but it makes you feel like if you're watching everything and you're scrutinizing everything, especially when there's a stoppage of play with a hanky on the field... How can you miss those?
Yeah.
No, you can't. And that's why.
And what the NFL can't have happen is the Cowboys go 1-3 and start the spiral out of control.
Yes.
Sorry, I'll say it.
Right.
No, you just said it. You're accusing the NFL of being rigged.
The NFL rigged it for the Cowboys last night, or at least tried too early. I don't care if nobody else says it, I'll say it. Because I've never, in my 37 years, sit my fat ass down on a couch watching football, saw a face mask call when there was a face mask and it be completely on the opposite side.
I get
it. BS.
I know what the people are thinking, and I completely agree with you. What happened at WFAN?
Mm.
We got one personality saying Brian Daboll is tanking and he's trying to lose, and we have another personality saying the NFL is rigged. We have what happened to this place?
The NFL's not rigged, but they can't have the Cowboys fall out of it in September.
The biggest problem I have is inconsistencies.
Yeah.
I love fixing bad calls. I do. Like, who wants bad calls? But you can't, in one breath, fix one thing and not fix another thing. And it does open up questions.
Right.
If
we're going to leave it open to human error, which is what we previously have been doing, it gives us license to scream and yell, these referees suck, you got to do something about the referees. That's what the narrative has been for the last 2 years regarding the referees in the NFL. So you're going to give them tools to not screw up so often,
but then
or to correct human error,
which is great.
And then, but to get it wrong,
yeah, that's the problem. Like, I love that you're fixing the errors, but you got to be consistent
about it. It's just wow. It's wow worthy.
Yes, and look, those were huge. Now, what I would always say, and I'll say the same thing this weekend if the Mets have umpiring calls go against them, I'll bitch about it, I'll complain about it, and then I'll say, overcome it. And the New York Giants could have overcome it. They could have won the game anyway, but there's no excusing or no ignoring that the
It's
not why they lost. I mean, it contributed, sure.
But it contributed, for sure.
But you get a 30-yard swing on the face mask, you get a penalty picked up. That should have been a penalty, but they weren't sure what they called.
Where a touchdown was scored.
Where a touchdown is, I mean... It does change a lot. What I was going to say, and I think you guys will fully agree with me, even though they should have gotten the opportunity, even if they call the face mask correctly, the Giants settled for a field goal anyway. Who's kidding who? I mean, who's kidding who?
You don't know that.
No, Sean, of course I don't know that. If we're being honest and we're making like dead honest, diehard fan predictions, you know they kick a field
goal. What was the final score?
They kicked a field goal anyway.
Okay, what was the final score?
20-15
Okay, so take the touchdown off the board and... put another field goal on.
Giants lose 16-15.
Or on that last drive, they could play for field goal territory.
No, I know. It changes the whole game.
They figured out Malik Nabers and how to try to take away some of what he was doing. He was cooking that first drive. If you have first and down from the 30, maybe they haven't figured out Nabers yet, and they do get in the end zone.
Matt's in Staten Island. What's up, Matt?
What up?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How are you?
We're good, man.
Good.
Yo, Evan, honestly, I really respect a lot of what you say, but sometimes I think you got to think a little bit before you say it. You just asked Cheeky if he would regret leaving a game for a fourth and whatever at the end of the game. Do you realize that he was a Super Bowl player? He played in the Super Bowl. You think he cares about a week 3 game? He's not a fan like you.
That's a good point.
I
never thought about it that way. Did you ever think about it that way?
I did not, but he's right.
I mean, thank you, Matt. Thank you for screaming at me because I deserve that. Like, yeah, you're right. At the end of the day, it's like, what the hell does that mean? Mike in Hoboken. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you doing?
Oh, good.
I just wanted to call up before. I want to apologize for Sean for yesterday for calling him a lard ass.
Thanks, Mike.
Oh, that's very nice. Wow.
I mean, he was so negative and everything. I mean, he's still a lard ass, but I just want to apologize.
Those are my favorite kind of apologies. I'm sorry, but am I really sorry?
Oh, backhanded apologies.
The Yankees won the AL East last night, and they celebrated. Some Yankee fans think they celebrated too much.